today on Real Radio.
Remember Solomon's there and the women that got the little baby and they're bickering about whose child it is. It's my child. No, it's my child. Her child. She rolled off war on her baby and killed it. Well, no, this one's my baby. No, it's my baby. And they're fighting back and forth. And Solomon goes, okay, bring the baby here. Just bring the baby. Get the moms over here. Somebody give me a sword. And King Solomon gets his sword and places a little infant down. And he says, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'll cut. I'm the king. I'll cut the kid in half. You can have one half, and you can have the other half.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're exploring chapter 4, where Paul, the letter's author, emphasizes unity among believers and spiritual gifts. This is actually a series taken from Ephesians 4 in verses 7 through 16, as well as other passages. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
The Holy Spirit will use your Bible knowledge in the exercise regarding the gift of the Word of Wisdom. You will find out that if God has given you this gift of having the Word of Wisdom, you will also be one that is in your Bible. You'll know your Bible. At least you're in your Bible intake of Bible on a very regular basis. And you will turn and go out from your house or from your day and you'll go to some place or to another. And God will use you with that bit of scriptural, biblical knowledge that's been hidden in your heart. And you'll apply it in such a way, or you'll give it in such a way so that it can be applied to a person's life. And it is the word of wisdom. The scriptures teach us that the Holy Spirit uses the word of God. But here in Ephesians 6, it says here, the sword of the Spirit. We need the Bible in our lives if we're going to be exercising this gift. Now listen, I don't know about you guys, but when I was growing up, we didn't mess around when we played Army. I lived to play Army. None of this wimpy stuff. We literally went down to the Army-Navy stores and we bought combat gear. We had our moms hem the combat fatigues. I'm not kidding. Bobby Schroeder, Bobby Kelly, Mike Noyes, Kevin Smith, we all did it. And we couldn't wait for school to get out. And we'd get out, we had helmets. We didn't have plastic helmets. That was unacceptable. If a kid showed up on the street, I'm not kidding, with a plastic helmet, he had to go home. We're not going to go home. You just go home. I'm not kidding. We used real helmets. We used real stuff. And the good old Army stores that we used to go to, you used to be able to get real military hand grenades that had the core removed. And you'd throw that thing, and it put the biggest dent in any car around. Man, there's a car! That wasn't a car, it was a tank! Oh, man! And we had an arsenal of dirt clods. And if you got hit with a dirt clod, and you said, yeah, I got you! No, you didn't. I got you! Time out! Everybody came to the center of where we're at. And you'd inspect the guy. If he had dirt on him from the dirt clod, he's out. He's dead. We're a serious man. We didn't play G.I. Joes. We were G.I. Joe. And I miss those days, by the way. I'm not kidding. I'm telling you now, I miss those days. And I could never be in the army. Those guys were in the army. I had to be in the Marines. That was the deal. Hoorah! You know. It's just the way it goes. And you think of all the gear that you have on. And you think of what's listed in Ephesians chapter 6, all of the gear, and there's only one thing listed in Ephesians 6, 17. It's the sword of the Spirit that's offensive in weaponry. Everything else was to defend. But the sword of the Spirit is a weapon to attack. You take the sword of the Spirit. It's like the word of wisdom. It is so specific. When it's used by someone in the body, it is so specific. It is so perfect. Just like the word of God, when it comes to the battle inventory, this word in Ephesians 6:17 for sword is the word makaira in Greek. And it is a wonderful word. And it shows the Roman soldier. And he would have had his broadsword. And we'll get into this heavily in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. But he would have had his big 3.5-foot-long sword. You've seen that. You've seen it in the movies. The guy with the broom on his head. He's got the red and gold armament. The Roman soldier. When he was fighting, he had that big imperial sword. And he's whipping that thing around. It was huge. Like a helicopter coming at you. And when he got to close combat, he would either sheath that thing or he would drop his sword only after he reached. If he was right-handed, he went to the left. If he was left, he went to the right. And he would grab that makaira only when you were eye-to-eye with your enemy at close-range combat. He would pull out the makaira that had a blade from 14 to 18 inches long. And he didn't even look at it. He just grabbed it, and they're wrestling, and they're battling, and he just starts going with it. And his whole thing was to thrust it to the point where it bottomed out. If it just bottomed out, he knew without looking that you will soon be dying, because it went in far enough to strike enough arteries or vessels or vital organs to kill you dead. And so he would be fighting, and he would just take that, and it was to kill. And that's the word that's used here in Ephesians 6:17, that you take the makaira of the Spirit to fight your spiritual battles. Why? Listen, it means specific word of God, and this is exactly what it means. Are you ready for this? You can memorize Genesis 1:1 all you want. In the beginning, you can go for it. And the enemy can attack you in your head, in your thoughts, temptation, pressures, somehow to get you to snap. And you can stand toe-to-toe with the enemy and quote Genesis 1:1 until the cows come home, and it won't do you one bit of good. Did you know that? Nothing. It won't do. I'm quoting the Word of God. Listen. You're quoting the Word of God, but it's not the Makaira. It doesn't apply to the situation. You and I are supposed to be schooled enough in the Word that we can pull out the Makaira for the situation and slay the opposition. And you will never be victorious as a Christian if you don't know the Word of God in your hearts. You won't make it. When somebody comes up and says, hey, how about having some of this drug? In the beginning was God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten. That won't work either. The Makaira, the specific word. The word is to be used specifically so that when somebody comes knocking on your door, for example, with temptation, using the Makaira, the sword of the Spirit, for killing in the situation, you would say, someone knocks on your door, and you would say, I'm going to bring every thought into the captivity of Jesus Christ. That's specific. And that's where the enemy is defeated in our lives. When we quote, when we stand on, when we get behind the power of the specific word of God for the situation. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's very important. That's why Paul in Ephesians 6:17 uses the word makaira. Use the specific scripture reference for your situation in life. By the way, that is also called in the Bible, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's very serious and very wonderful. Why do we need this gift? We mentioned last time, it is for the unification of the believers, absolutely, and it is for the propagation of truth, certainly. But also this is what we did not mention last time together, it's for the maturing of the believers, for us all. We're going to look at some examples now, and then we'll wrap this up. Turn to Luke chapter 20. Luke 20, verse 1. It says there in Luke 20, verse 1, "Now it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him. And he spoke to him, saying, Tell us, or they spoke to him, saying, Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority? But he answered and he said to them, I will also ask you one thing." I wish I was there for this. Listen. "I will also ask you one thing and answer me." I like that. "The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, why then didn't we believe him? But if we say from men, then all the people will stone us, because they're persuaded that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where he was from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." That's a word of wisdom. That's using biblical truth specifically. In this case, it was in a hostile environment. I like the way that happens with our Lord. Matthew 22. Turn to Matthew 22, verse 41. Matthew 22, 41. "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? And they said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one," look at verse 46, I love this, "no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare ask him any more questions." That's wisdom. That's the word of wisdom. The Pharisees, they're all sneaking around, handing out pamphlets. Jesus is a quack, don't listen to him. You know, and you could, they were just, "Hi, Jesus." They're like this, saying, going around the people, "Hey." And Jesus goes, "Hey, David, whose son? The Messiah that's coming, whose son is he?" "Oh, he's David's son." They answered that correctly. But Jesus enlightens them a little bit about theology. True, the Messiah is David's son. But think about it, boys. Why is it when you read the book of Psalms that David calls his son, the Messiah that's coming, Lord? You see, the father, David, would never call his son someone greater than himself. So how is it, Pharisee, that David calls his son that's to be born someone greater than himself? And they all went, I don't think we should ask him any more questions. I love it. Mark chapter 12. Mark 12, verse 13. "Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees." These guys ought to give up sometime, you know, they just don't. "And the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they had come, they said to him, Teacher, we know that you are true," they're lying, "and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men." That means you don't show any favoritism to anybody. We've got that. "But teach the way of God in truth." They didn't believe that. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it. So they brought it, and he said to them, Whose image, whose inscription is this? And they said, Caesar's. Then Jesus answered and said to them, Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. They just, that's word of wisdom in light of his opponents. Remember, Stephen had the word exercised in wisdom with his opponents. And, of course, Saul, later to become Paul, was present. Matthew 13, 54. We'll be done here real quick, I think. Matthew 13, 54. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there, and when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues so that they were astonished and said, Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, by the way, the word is siblings. Isn't his stepbrother James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, Jesus had at least two stepsisters from Joseph and Mary's union. Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Wisdom. How is it this guy's got all this wisdom? It's the word of wisdom. Scriptural truth, or scriptural knowledge, excuse me, being delivered to a specific point. We could go on and on. You can go look later at 1 Kings chapter 3, a great, great study there and about wisdom, where, remember Solomon's there and the women, they got the little baby, and they're bickering about whose child it is. It's my child. No, it's my child. Her child. She rolled off war on her baby and killed it. Well, no, this one's my baby. No, it's my baby. And they're fighting back and forth. And Solomon goes, okay, bring the baby here. Just bring the baby. Get the moms over here. Somebody give me a sword. And King Solomon gets his sword and places a little infant down. And he says, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm the king. I'll cut the kid in half. You can have one half, and you can have the other half. And he raises the sword, and this woman goes, No, let her have the baby. And Solomon goes, Give the baby to the mother that just cried out. Because a mom of this baby, the true mom, would never allow this baby to be cut in half. That's a wisdom that's not of earth. And you go, well, it's so simple. That's from God. And God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit regarding the word of wisdom, especially if you're going to be called into ministry or in perhaps your business, you're a Christian, you want to have a Christian-run business. God will often gift you. He'll gift you in this area, in leadership, in things like that. God will gift. Why? So that His Son is glorified. Very, very exciting. In Luke 7:35, the scripture says, Wisdom is justified by her children. Wisdom is justified by her children. Whatever wisdom does, her offspring is fruitful and wise, and the fruit and the evidence is true. It's sad. Some people have no heart to seek God, and they fall from one catastrophe in their Christian experience to another. They go from one blunder to another. They're like an accident going down the path. You know, just tumbling head over heels. And the sad thing is they just don't wait for the wisdom of God. And all along the way you look at the fruit and it's just one mess after another. But wisdom is justified by her children. All that wisdom does is leaves behind a beautiful trail of great, wise, patient decisions. beautiful outcomes to difficult situations if you just wait and ask God for wisdom. I'm not saying I have any wisdom, but I will say that we've been waiting. Today, Pastor Chuck goes, "Jack, I thought I was in trouble. He's never called my name in my life. Jack, what?" You know, it's like, you know, you check everything. It's like, you know, what? When are you going to take the land? When are you going to take the land? He's asking about the property. Well, you know, Chuck, we're being patient about it.
He was like, soon, I hope.
When are you going to take the land? Well, he knows how long it's been. And you guys are like an enigma. Because we've all like waited so long. There's a lot of people watching, you know? You get emails from Moscow and from St. Petersburg and from Kiev. You guys got the land yet? Get a fax from, or an email from Moscow. It's funny. Pastor Jack, did you guys get the land yet? And how's your dog, Scruffy? No, we haven't gotten the land. Keep praying. There are people praying all over the world for this thing. I think God has created this land situation to get Christians around the world to start praying. James tells us that if we just ask the Lord for wisdom, He'll give it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called United in the Gifts. It's actually a mini-series that takes a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Now, we've mentioned a few times recently a valuable resource for your loved one who is a professing believer but has, well, fallen out of fellowship. And who better to tell you more about this resource than our teacher himself, Pastor Jack?
Mike, you know this is dear to my heart, and you know that I love to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's almost nothing more exciting than that. When I say almost, this is something that really drives my heart as a pastor. And that's those who know Jesus, but they've walked away from Him. They're the ones that Jesus spoke about in Luke's gospel, the prodigal son. Maybe you're the prodigal daughter today, and you're far from God. And you're hearing this program right now, and it's got your attention. You're living a life that you know is not pleasing to God. I want you to know something. The Lord is saying to you, Christian, come home. He's inviting you to come back to have your sins forgiven and your fellowship reestablished with the Lord. That can happen now, my friend. Or maybe you know somebody who's in that condition today that they need to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, listen, for a gift of $20 or more to support Real Radio, there's a 4-DVD set entitled Christian Come Home, taken out of Luke's Gospel, Life of the Prodigal Son. Christian, if you're not walking with God, come on back. Christian, come home now.
Okay, so once again, to get Pastor Jack's DVD set, Christian Come Home, call, click, or write. Again, for your gift of $20 or more, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or the traditional way, for the cost of a stamp, you can just write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, that's for your gift of $20 or more. If you missed any of this contact information, simply visit us at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.